On August 1st, 2015, at 1:12 a.m., a call to 999, the equivalent of 911, was made. On the line was Shagufta Sheikh. Quote, "My sister-in-law can't breathe properly," unquote. Ambulance arrived to the home on Clara Street at 1:31 a.m., where the paramedics were taken to Shagufta's room. A woman lay on the bed completely unconscious. This woman was Amreen Fatima Sheikh. When asked by the paramedics what had happened, Shagufta replied saying her sister-in-law had stopped talking to anyone at midnight and became completely unresponsive. To this, the paramedic asked why it took over an hour for her to call for help. She then quickly changed her account and said, "Amreen became unresponsive around 1 a.m. She went on to add that Amreen had been suffering from terrible headaches for the past few days and had spent most of her day in bed. At the Huddersfield Royal Infirmary, Amreen was immediately put in the intensive care unit, or the ICU, where she was intubated. A CT scan was performed in which swelling was found on her brain. It wasn't immediately clear as to what had caused the swelling. The next day, a procedure called a spinal tap or lumbar puncture was to be performed to determine if there was an infection in the brain. However, no such infection was detected. At the time of the spinal tap, doctors noticed a severe burn on Umbreen's lower back, and upon examination, doctors determined that the burn had occurred approximately 5 to 7 days before Amreen was brought to the hospital, and the likely cause was a corrosive substance. Amreen also had anti-diabetic medication called glimepiride used to treat type 2 diabetes in her system, although she was not diabetic. When Asghar Sheikh, Amreen's husband, was asked by Dr. Jones about the burn on her back, he said he was aware of the headaches, but couldn't think of any reason why she would have burns on her lower back. This was reason enough for the doctors at the infirmary to call the police. It was determined that Amreen suffered burns not only to her lower back, but also her bottom and her right ear due to the corrosive substance, along with sores all over her body, including her toes, that would indicate a period of prolonged immobility. In addition to this, investigators believe that at some stage, one or more of the defendants had removed her vomit and urine-soiled clothing, cleaned her body, and dressed her and carried her into the sister-in-law's bedroom. According to the Daily Mail, due to the catastrophic brain injury that Amreen developed from the anti-diabetes drug, it was initially thought that she would not survive very long. However, after ventilators were shut off in the hospital, she began to breathe for herself. It has now been 9 years, and Amreen is still holding on to her life in a vegetative state. She is unaware of her environment, not responsive to pain, has no motor response, and will never recover. She is fed through a tube, and doctors say it is only a matter of time when her body completely shuts down for good. But this could take decades. All five of the family members were charged with causing or allowing a vulnerable adult to suffer serious physical harm. This offense carried a maximum sentence of 10 years imprisonment at the time this took place. However, it has since been increased to 14 years since. Shagufta, Shabnam, and Asghar were all accused of doing an act intending to pervert the course of justice, meaning they prevented justice from being served on Amreen. So who are these five family members, and how did this all come to be? Amreen Fatima and Asghar Sheikh had an arranged marriage in Pakistan in 2013. Asghar and his family, which included his mom, Shabnam Sheikh, his father, Khalid Sheikh, his brother, Saqlan Sheikh, and his sister, Shagufta Sheikh, all lived in West Yorkshire in the UK, in the town of Huddersfield. Amreen was a teacher in Pakistan, a happy-go-lucky, full-of-life sort of person. People close to her said she would light up a room. Amreen had 7 siblings. It wasn't until November 2014 when Amreen arrived to the UK to live in the same home as Asghar and his family. According to Robert Steen Smith, it was soon after Amreen's arrival that problems in the Sheikh household began. Amreen wasn't meeting the expectations of her husband and his family, and soon after, she was socially isolated. She rarely left the house. She was never allowed to leave alone. She had no independent income, no friends, and could barely speak any English. Another source reported that Asghar Sheikh would threaten to kill Amreen's family members if they came to visit. According to the Leeds Crown Court records, Shabnam, the mother-in-law, had mentioned to her cousin Nahila Sadiq that in January 2015, which was only 2 months after Amreen arrived to the UK, she was caught smoking a cigarette with, quote, drugs in it, unquote. When confronted by Shabnam, Amreen mentioned that it was a cigarette that her husband Asghar had given to her. In another instance, Shabnam complained to her cousin Nahila about Amreen being smelly due to body odor and not showering, for which Nahila suggested buying shampoo, deodorant, and body wash for Amreen because she was new to the country and needed some education on personal hygiene. Nahila suggested giving Amreen at least 6 months to get used to her new life, her new surroundings, and of course, marriage itself. But Shabnam wouldn't stop with the complaints. She said Amreen doesn't cook chapatis or roti for her husband and doesn't do routine household chores. So to this, Nahila suggested sending her back to Pakistan if the family is unable to get along with her. Khalid Sheikh, the father-in-law, also wanted to send Amreen back to Pakistan, but Shabnam refused. In July of 2015, only a few weeks before the 999 call, Amreen's family members asked police to do a welfare check on her, as they were worried about her. The West Yorkshire police officers said that she was fit and well. However, in court, the judge who was presiding over the case, named Justice Lambert, said, quote, I attach little weight to that assessment because Ms. Sheikh spoke little English and her father-in-law was present during the visit, unquote. At trial, the court heard that any responsible person in that household would have been made aware of the burn, as it would have been agonizing for Amreen, and medical treatment should have been arranged for immediately. Quote, it is inconceivable that the household were unaware of it. Due to the family not giving any evidence in court, the court was unable to determine when the abuse had actually begun. However, from November 2014, when Amreen arrived to the UK, up till August 2015, when the 999 call was made, that's not even a full year. So the abuse must have began either right away or after the welfare check was conducted in July of 2015. The court was also not able to determine who administered the corrosive substance, leaving Amreen in lasting pain. The glimepiride was prescribed to Shabnam, the mother-in-law. But again, the court was unable to determine who force-fed those pills to Amreen. The judge determined that there was a delay of 2 to 3 days between when Amreen fell unconscious and when the 999 call was made. It is also likely that during this time is when Umbreen forcefully inhaled and ingested the toxic fluids. A neighbor of the Sheikh family said, quote, "I was shocked because I just didn't realize that there was another person living in the house that we weren't aware of," unquote. She went on to say that she didn't even know Asghar had gotten married and that the wife was living at the address since November of 2014. The assistant chief constable named Damien Miller of West Yorkshire Police said, quote, "West Yorkshire Police has worked hard in recent years to improve its safeguarding of vulnerable victims in domestic settings, including those from minority communities," unquote. So if this was the case, why did this abuse even happen? If the officers realized that the father-in-law was present at the time of the wellness check, why didn't they think to check on Umbreen again at a time where she would possibly be alone or unsupervised in the house? After 10 hours of jury deliberation, 4 out of 5 family members were found guilty. Asghar Sheikh, who is now 31, was jailed for 7 years and 9 months, along with his father Khalid and mother Shabnam. His sister Shagufta was given an 18-month sentence suspended for 2 years. Asghar Sheikh's brother Saqlan Sheikh was not found guilty on this charge, but was given a 6-month sentence suspended for 2 years. All 5 defendants were found guilty of conspiracy to pervert the course of justice. At the time of sentencing, the judge said the family would have definitely been made aware of her pain. So to say that she was experiencing headaches and stopped talking to anyone didn't make any sense. The intention of the family was clear: to instill the maximum amount of pain and suffering on Umbreen without directly killing her. And all for what? Just because she didn't live up to the ridiculous expectations of the family? I'm curious to know what our listeners think. Are these sentences fair? When I researched this case, I was literally sick to my stomach. I cannot believe how a human being could torture another human being this way. In my opinion, although Umbreen has not passed away yet, she's basically deceased because there is no hope for recovery. And she's been in a vegetative state for 9 years now. This, in my opinion, warrants a life imprisonment sentence for all 5 of these scumbag family members. Not even one of the family members is innocent in this. They all knew exactly what they were doing and what the damage would be. So hearing that the sister and brother only got months of imprisonment is extremely infuriating. I personally feel all 5 should be put away for life and never see the light of day again. Since all this occurred, Umbreen's father passed away and her mother is very sick in Pakistan. One of Umbreen's brothers is known to have visited her in the palliative care facility that Umbreen lives in. For this family, it's been an ongoing tragedy day in, day out, and they are constantly reminded about the senseless torture and pain Umbreen endured. May Umbreen find peace, and may a miracle happen in which she is able to recover. Ameen. If you or anyone you know is experiencing domestic violence in any shape or form, please know that there is help. A person should never feel like there is no way out, because there always is. I have linked some organizations in the show description. I'm your host, Nazish, signing off. Join me again on another thrilling and chilling episode of Crime Stories of Pakistan. Until next time, remember that knowledge is power, and awareness can make our world safer. Keep your eyes and ears open and vigilant. And don't forget to check up on your family members, your neighbors, and your friends.